Good morning. Welcome in to In Focus on News Radio KMAN. This next segment, we're going to be talking with members of the Flint Hills Regional Leadership Program, which recently just completed its coursework and graduation for the 2020-21 program year. Joining us here from the leadership program is Jack Lindquist. Jack, you're executive director, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Jack joins us here this morning. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, very, very good. Thank you. Dealing with these cold temperatures, knowing that it's going to get warmer in the next 2 weeks, we'll be in the 40s and 50s. It's pretty exciting.
Absolutely. Well, looking forward to speak more with you. And we've got a couple of board members here. Zach Bayless joins us. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
You bet. Sarah Keatley as well. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning, Brandon. Thank you.
Yeah, it certainly is a pleasure. Jack, I know you've been involved with this program for quite a while, and there was a lot of things that could have made this a challenging year, but it looks like you guys were able to complete it with minimal issues.
True. The Flint Hills Regional Leadership Program that was formed in 1992, celebrating 29th year this year, and this region is the northern or north central Flint Hills in the Kaw Valley. So we're talking about Raleigh County, Gary County, Pottawatomie County, and Fort Riley is the encompassing region for the area. And it's my fifth year, my fifth class. So I've watched the program grow to 580 graduates now. And we were concerned about what was going to happen under COVID and had some very serious thought-provoking discussions about how we were going to have to get pretty creative under COVID in the 2019-2020 period and the pandemic that was going to shape the 2020-21 class. And what we ended up doing was got more creative than we even imagined. We came up with new technologies and ways to contact our people, ways to fund the program without causing anybody any pain. And so the class members were the most important thing, recruiting the class. And we downsized it to 20, so it was easier to do the spacing from our 30 that has been the normal run of a class size for the past few years. And then we had to get larger meeting spaces so that we could spread out. So different meals, different contact points, lots of safety precautions. It was a big game changer for us.
All right. Well, it's always neat to see the different diverse groups you are able to attract, and you know, even have to go a third smaller. You still get some pretty good folks who are involved in the community.
Oh, I was just super impressed with the quality of applicants that we got, and it was even more competitive than it was before because it was fewer spaces to fill. And so we really did draw the cream of the crop, and it was people who were willing to do some servant leadership, self-sacrifice in order to learn how to operate and conduct business and be a leader under a very critical environment that was stressing a lot of people and businesses out to where they just shut down. And these folks stepped up and stepped in and took those roles on so that they could learn to lead under a crisis.
All right, well, let's bring on Sarah here a little bit. Sarah Keatley is one of the board members. She's a recent graduate of the program. And just kind of tell us a little bit about your experience and kind of some of the highlights.
Awesome. Well, so I told Jack about halfway through the class, this would have been the year that I think the board could have easily said this is not the year to have the Flint Hills Regional Leadership Program. But I have to say, my experience, I would have never have known that anything had changed or had been different besides the standard COVID-19 protocols that were in place. Jack and the board were creative, determined, and innovative in making sure that we were able to have the experiences that other groups and that had had in the past. But some of my highlights, I think the time we spent at Fort Riley was just really eye-opening and inspiring to me to see what these young men and women do on a daily basis to protect our country and our freedoms and the sacrifices that they make, but that their families make in moving to PCS, to different stations. And to me, that was just really eye-opening. Even though I have lived in the Flint Hills for over 30 years, I have never fully understood the impact that Fort Riley has on all of the different communities, as well as the economic impact that they have.
Yeah, that's, you know, and there's a lot of folks I think who probably can relate to that, you know, living out here, you have Fort Riley in your backyard, but not a lot of us really interact maybe a whole lot if we're not involved with the military.
Right. So, I mean, we hear our windows rattle and we feel the booms, but we don't know what those people are, what's causing them, why they're doing that. And the 2 days that we spent at the fort were just really eye-opening to a lot of different things that our military does.
Bring on Zach Bayless here again. He's also a board member and a recent graduate of the program. What was your experience like?
Well, Brandon, my experience was great. I've only been in Kansas, the state of Kansas, for just under 3 years. So this program really opened my eyes to what the Flint Hills region does, how they work, and kind of to Sarah's point, it just taught me a lot about everything in the region. As it pertains to Fort Riley, K-State, Junction City, even the city of Manhattan where I work, sometimes you don't get in depth into other departments like you would working there. And so having Ron Fear, the city manager, come on the bus and talk to us about upcoming projects, and having Dave Baker come and talk to us about the Douglas Center is really informative and eye-opening. And I think one of the biggest takeaways for me was advocacy. Advocacy for our region within the state, whether that's advocating locally or going to the state level and advocating for our region there. I think that's a huge takeaway and something we need to all consider.
As far as the diversity of the program, what can you say to that aspect of it?
Oh, the diversity of the program is great. Like Jack said, we only had about 20 people in the program, but I think that smaller group kind of brought us all together a little bit closer than maybe a group of 30 would have. And I really got to know a lot of different people. And there was organizations that were represented from all over the region. I mean, you had the Boys and Girls Club, you had the City of Junction City, you had Rock Springs and 4-H, and some places I didn't even know existed, and some jobs I didn't know existed. So it was really eye-opening and got a lot of different perspectives and opinions into the same room, which is always beneficial.
I think one thing this program probably does a little bit, it definitely instills more civic pride in a lot of folks, and I'm gathering that here from both of you here this morning. Professionally, I know Zach, I think you're involved with Parks and Rec. Is that right?
That's right. Yes, sir.
Sarah, I don't know, what's your professional involvement here?
I work for Kansas State University with the College of Veterinary Medicine. So the K-State Day, I have to say, being in the midst of the pandemic and understanding the budget cuts that the College of Veterinary Medicine was facing, and looking at housing and dining and how they handled the furloughs and how they handled bringing students back to campus this fall, just it showed how one or two people can make such a vast impact on such a large community. And so just very impressed with the K-State family, and listening that day talk about how even though those employees had to be furloughed, they took the time to make sure that they were going to be making the same amount of money with the pandemic assistance that was happening. And looking at those individuals as humans instead of just as another financial number was just really inspiring and affirming that I was working for a university and a place that values people so much. But you talked about civic pride, and my husband and I have lived in Wamego for just over 5 years. And the day that we spent in Wamego with the different leaders of the city was, I learned more about my city that day than I have in the last 5 years, from visiting with Jim Meinhardt over at Canny Quip to all the way to Sugar Creek over in St. Mary's. But just really, really proud of my community and my small town that I live in, that I learned so much about.
Very good. Zach, I see.
Hey, Yeah, Brandon, a fun fact that I learned about Wamego, some people call it Wamego. I had no clue. Some people call it Wamego.
I did not know that. You know, I only learned a short time ago that water tower Wamego is based on, off the balloon from the movie Wizard of Oz. And of course, it makes sense, but I never realized that until just recently.
I didn't know that either. That's pretty cool.
It kind of blows my mind.
It's the coolest water tower America.
It is the coolest water tower in America. I agree. Such a neat program. And, you know, this is great that these opportunities exist for people to take advantage of. Jack, you hear these stories, and I'm sure it enlightens you a little bit. But this is a great, I think, a way to promote the leadership program and encourage more people to sign up.
Certainly. One of the things that stood out for me with the class and this program was being able to showcase things that most people don't get exposed to or don't even think about. And they're not things that should be overlooked. For instance, Mount Mitchell. We took the group out south of town. Under COVID, you want to share the opportunities that allow people to get out and appreciate history and nature. And we went out to Mount Mitchell and learned about the history and the Beecher Bible group that was in that area. The history relationships to the Civil War and pre-Civil War is just so rich in history. But it's something that anybody can do anytime that the weather's decent and get out there and do a hike through those hills and get up on that ridge and see the Kaw Valley down below and just appreciate what we've got. But to have a greater understanding of our rich history and the cultures that developed this area.
All right. Well, is there anything else maybe I haven't spoken about here that you want to make sure to get across this morning?
Well, we appreciate the current graduates and the board are stepping up their recruitment roles now. And we're trying to draw the names and contact information of potential candidates for the next class. And it will be probably set up very similar to what we did this past year. So we want the brave and the few, as well as those that are willing to step into a critical role in being a leader during and after a crisis, because we need to pick this region up again back to where it was before, the fastest growing region in the state economically, and be ready to have the vision and be ready to take advantage of all of the dramatic change that's going to be taking place once we get through the COVID crisis. And so we are circling the wagons and getting those names together now. And May 15th, we'll go live online for applications. And applications will be due through the process until July 15th. And we'll make the selections within 2 weeks after that and have a new class named by this fall, ready to go back to our cycle of 7 sessions.
All right. Well, that's exciting. I think anybody should probably consider this, even if you're new to the area or if you've been here a long time and just want to learn more about the area. I think that's a good thing. And we need leaders. That's so important. As you mentioned, we're going to need that here coming out of this pandemic.
Definitely. We just want folks to go to our website, fhrlp.org, and you can look through and see who the graduates were in our alumni section over the past 29 years. Also take a look at the structure of the program and how this nonprofit works. And we really appreciate the donors that keep it active and keep it going and growing. We appreciate the participants that we've had, and we especially look forward to a big, bright future.
Well, Sarah, Zach, thank you so much, and appreciate your testimony here to this program and how good it is.
Absolutely. Thank you, Brandon.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
You bet.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jack, and Jack Lindquist, Sarah Keatley, and Zach Bayless, our guests here on In Focus from the Flint Hills Regional Leadership Program.